Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome to this week's Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of Mother Ganga, the flowing, sacred Ganges River, as she flows forth from the Himalayas, carrying with her life, divinity, and liberation. It's so wonderful to be with you all today, my evening, your morning, where we come together for this sacred time of inspiration and transformation. Take just a moment, wherever you are. Close your eyes if it's safe for you to do so, and allow yourself to access, to touch that place in you that is ready to be transformed, that place within you with just a bit of illumination and inspiration can transform not only your life, but rather your experience of your life. So much of what ails us is not actually our lives, but our experience of our lives. It is that which we need to be transformed. So take a moment and just access that place. That place waiting to be inspired and illumined. That place ready to be transformed. Today, I want to talk about the power of devotion. Devotion is something that those of us in the West tend to shy away from. It's something we even tend to be afraid of. There's something about devotion that makes us feel like, if I'm really devoted, I'll lose some of my autonomy. I'll lose some of my individuality. I'll lose some of my control. And so devotion scares us. And yet, devotion is the key. It is the answer. It's the recipe for so much of that which we're yearning for in our lives. Devotion is the answer. It's the key to that which we are yearning for in our lives. Connection, love, meaning, fulfillment, security, grounding, centering. As we run from devotion, as we try to hold on so tightly to our own sense of individuality, to our own sense of control, to our own sense of separateness, that holding on actually suffocates us. It actually becomes the jail, the prison in which the beat of our heart, the possibility for our lives, actually gets extinguished and suffocated. As we run from devotion, as we fear devotion, we don't even realize how much we are already devoted to. We're already devoted, but we're devoted to our own egos. We're devoted to our own stories, our own histories, our own personalities, our own worldviews. We're already devoted. But we're devoted to things that chain us, that constrict us, that suffocate us. Real devotion frees us. Real devotion connects us to the source of real freedom. In India, in Indian culture, devotion is a prime component. Devotion is something that is seen as one of the highest qualities. And it almost doesn't even matter what you're devoted to. Whether you're devoted to God in one form or in another form, whether you're devoted to your parents, whether you're devoted to your grandparents, whether you're devoted to your guru, whether you're devoted to service, whether you're devoted to the flowing Ganga, to the tree in your backyard, to the birds who come and land on the tree in your backyard. Because through devotion to all of this, we're connecting. We're connecting to that source of love. So real devotion frees us. In India, we talk about bhakti, devotion, as ras. Ras is essence, it's juice, it's divine nectar. So in devotion, we actually flow. Separate, constricted, bound, we stagnate. Through that love of devotion, we actually flow with the ras, with that essence, with that juice. We flow like with the waters of Ganga. And devotion is that which really has within it the power to make everything happen. The Indian scriptures, the stories are full of examples of devotion being the element, the single element that manifests magic, and the element through which all of that which we want comes in our lives. In the West, we are so focused on packaging. If my hair is right, if my makeup is right, if my clothes are right. And there's a great story in the Ramayana where the sister of Ravan, Ravan was the demon king of Lanka, and his sister, Shurpanakha, was, you could say, Miss Universe of the demon world. And she came to Lord Ram. She came to God, trying to seduce him. Her hair was perfect. Her makeup was perfect. Her clothes were perfect. through her powers, she had made herself look like the most beautiful woman. But Lord Ram, the divine, didn't even pay attention to her. He didn't even look at her. All of her powers of seduction went to naught. And yet, in the Ramayana, in the same story, we have Shabari, who is the most beautiful epitome of devotion, of purity, of love. A poor woman, a simple woman, no makeup, no frills, no hairdresser, no fancy clothes, but so devoted to Ram that every day she would sweep her house, sweep the porch of her house, that one day God will come. And he did. In the Ramayana, Bhagwan Ram actually goes to Shabari's house and appears on her doorstep. In the stories of Krishna, in the Mahabharata, there's a beautiful incident that we actually sing in our prayers on the banks of Ganga every day that describe how Krishna was offered this glamorous, sumptuous, delectable feast in the palace of Duryodhan. The evil, greedy, ego-filled perpetrator, you could say, of the Mahabharata war. Krishna didn't eat there. He didn't take any of the fancy, delectable food in the palace. Rather, he went to the home of a simple man, a poor man, and ate the food from his home, from his kitchen, from his plates. So in all of our stories and all of the scriptures, we're given again and again, not just everyday examples, but examples of grace in form, examples of the divine on earth showing up literally at the home of those who are devoted. Not due to the frills, not due to the money, not due to the facilities, not due to the titles or career. But the divine shows up, pulled, called, grabbed, attracted by the power of devotion. And when God, in form, comes due to devotion, when the biggest miracle, the most powerful, incredible miracle of the divine in form, the divine on earth, when God is there, all grace is there, all possibilities are there. Everything we're yearning for, everything we're craving, everything we want, is all there with grace. All we need is the purity of devotion. So as we yearn, as we try, as we want for our lives to be successful, to be full, to be meaningful, to be complete, we have to remember the key is devotion.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, everyone. This is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation from the holy banks of Mother Ganga, in the lap of the towering and sacred Himalayas. We're talking today about devotion, about the power of devotion to make everything happen in our lives. The greatest example of that is Hanuman. Hanuman is worshipped as the epitome of devotion, the epitome of bhakti. One of my favorite stories from the life of Hanuman, from the beautiful Ramayana, is after the war in Lanka, where Sri Ram, the divine in form, conquered the evil king, Ravan. Story of goodness vanquishing evil. A story of purity overcoming impurity. Of Dharma, righteousness, conquering unrighteousness. In that story, Hanuman is, you could say, the hero of the story. In the form of a monkey, he serves as the one who accomplishes so many of the incredible feats that bring the army of Lord Ram to victory. During the Ramayana, I won't go into all the details here, but during the Ramayana, some of the feats that Hanuman did were he flew across the ocean. He flew from India to the island of Lanka, now what we call Sri Lanka. He made himself enormous. He made himself tiny. He flew to the top of the Himalayas and carried the entire mountain in his hand, in order to rejuvenate and resuscitate Lakshman, the brother of Sri Ram. But after the war, when Hanumanji is asked, Hanumanji, how did you do all that? How did you fly across the ocean? How did you make yourself enormous and tiny? How did you carry the mountains in one arm? How did you put the sun under your armpit? How did you do all of that? Hanuman, he didn't say, oh, well, you know, I've got this great tonic, or I've been working out at the gym, or, well, I went to this very special skills training program, I got a degree in river crossing, ocean crossing, mountain carrying. He didn't say, I was top of my class in personal size control. Nothing like that. Nothing that he did. His answer? I just close my eyes. And I take Lord Ram's name, and it happens. It happens. I just take the name of God and it happens. That's the miracle. That's the miracle of devotion. It's not about what am I doing? What am I accomplishing? How strong am I? How talented am I? How great am I? What are my skills, my abilities? It's about how deeply can I just take God's name and leap. And that devotion is so full that Hanumanji is also the perfect example of what we mean when we really talk about full, single-pointed devotion. After being such a hero in the war, Sitama, Lord Ram's wife, says to him, Hanuman, you were so great. You saved me. Here as a gift, let me give you this very precious necklace of pearls. And she gives to Hanumanji a very, very, very precious, expensive pearl necklace. So Hanumanji takes the necklace and he looks at it and he holds up each pearl, examining it. And then after he's examined it, top, bottom, left, right, he bites into it, again looks at it, spits it out, goes on to the next pearl. So he's doing this pearl by pearl by pearl. Finally, Sitama says to him, Hanuman, what are you doing? I just told you this is a very, very precious necklace. You're tearing the pearls off one by one. You're biting them. Hanuman, what are you doing? And Hanumanji says, Sitama, you told me it was precious. If it's really precious, Lord Ram is here. Because where Lord Ram is, that's what's precious. His presence is what makes everything precious. So I'm looking for Ram in these pearls, as you told me. They are so precious. And that means that Lord Ram must be here. So I'm looking top and bottom, left and right, in the middle. And where I can't find him, I'm spitting it out because it means that pearl is useless. I'm waiting for the one where Ram is there. That is devotion. That is the single-minded devotion. And again, it doesn't matter what we're devoted to. Doesn't have to be Ram. Doesn't have to be God in form, God with name. If it is, it could be, of course, any name, any form. It can be humanity. It can be service. It can be love. It can be truth. It can be spirit. It can be the divine in the form of one I love. And through loving that one, the love spreads and I love all. But that love is what makes everything possible. So many people ask about vairagya, which is non-attachment, detachment from the things in life that bind us and chain us. But typically on a spiritual path, when we're embarking on a path of non-attachment or detachment, what we do is we push life away. So it becomes, I'm not thinking about money. I'm not thinking about pleasure. I'm not. But by not thinking about it, it's just as much a part of my psyche. Because now my psyche has become not thinking about money, not thinking about possessions, not thinking about desires. It's still there. It's still present. All I've done is I've turned thinking about into not thinking about. Then my entire existence becomes not thinking about whatever it is I'm not thinking about. Vairagya is much deeper than that. It's not a pushing away. Vairagya, in the scriptures in which these virtues are personified, Vairagya is actually the child of bhakti. Bhakti is the mother of Vairagya. And the reason that I share this here when we're talking about devotion is that through devotion to something that is higher, more, bigger, deeper, all-pervasive, divine, what's happened is I have become reattached to that divine. So automatically, as I reattach myself to the divine, the hold of these little things on me becomes less and less. But I haven't focused on pushing them away. Rather, I have focused on reattachment to the greater, to the bigger, to the wholer, to the more complete, to the divine. And in that reattachment, I've automatically become less attached, detached from that which was binding me. So bhakti, devotion, not only brings about this great joy and juice and nectar in our lives, but it also is freedom. Freedom from the chains that bound us. Imagine that you're walking down a beach collecting seashells or rocks. You think they're shiny, they're pretty, I hold them in my hands. Maybe we even hold on very tightly. Then at the end of the beach, there is someone there with a bucket full of diamonds. And he or she is pouring the bucket of diamonds to us. But our hands are full of rocks and seashells. What are we going to do? Immediately and instinctively, we're going to drop the stones, drop the seashells, because we understand these diamonds are of infinitely more value. That's what bhakti does. The minute that we start to really have that juice of devotion flowing in our lives, we automatically empty our hands of all of that which kept us from it, all of the chains, all of the prisons, whether it was our ego, whether it was grudges or anger, whether it was some aspect of our history that we've been holding on to, patterns of behavior, expectations that weren't fulfilled. Whatever it is, we let it go because there's no room. There's no room to simultaneously hold on to grudges and anger and misconceptions and my identity as I think it is, and to flow in the river, the ocean of devotion. And when we realize, when we experience how much more valuable on every level the devotion is, we automatically let go of the rest. Not because I've had to push it away, not because I've got a sticky note that says I will not get angry, but simply because in every moment I have a choice of the presence of love, the presence of devotion, or the presence of anger. Just like I have a choice between the diamonds and the seashells. And so we let go of the rest. And it happens automatically. We don't have to push it. We don't have to grit our teeth and dig our fingernails into our palms because we're wanting to be angry so badly, or we're wanting to have a grudge so badly, or wanting to hold on to our ego so badly. What we're wanting so badly is to let that river just flow more and more. What we want so badly is to melt and merge more and more into that river. What we crave is for the boundaries of the self to dissolve more and more. And as that becomes our experience and our yearning and our life, the rest automatically loses its hold on us. So we find ourselves not only in a river of love and devotion, but in a life of freedom. That is the gift of devotion.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
As we speak about devotion, along with devotion comes surrender. Because when we really are devoted, when we really and fully love, we surrender. Whether we're surrendering to the divine with a name, with a form, surrendering to the divine with no name or form, surrendering just to the universe, the spirit. As we connect and love, really love through the power of devotion, we automatically surrender. It happens even with our loved ones. If you think about even physically being in the arms of a loved one, as you hug the loved one, do we hold on to our own muscles very tightly? No. We let ourselves go into the embrace of the loved one. If we're holding on, it isn't full love. As we love, we let go. Whether it's physically in an embrace, whether it's lying in the lap of our own mother, surrender to her. Children asleep in the arms of their mother, where there's real devotion, real full love, there's surrender. Begins, of course, on the physical level. We surrender the muscles of our body to the arms, the lap of our loved one. But when that devotion is for God, again, any religion, any culture, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how we think about the divine, how we worship the divine, how we connect with the divine. Doesn't matter. But as we connect, as we love, as we really love, we automatically surrender. And surrender is something I mentioned earlier, that devotion is something that's very difficult for those of us from the West. And surrender also is even more difficult, because surrender makes us feel like somehow I'm giving up control, that somehow I'm losing something. All we lose when we surrender, all we lose when we surrender is the perspiration, the sweat, the tension that comes from the death grip that we currently have on our lives and on those around us. Most of us literally hold on to every aspect of our life with a death grip. And that death grip itself is what prevents us from being free. There's a beautiful parable that I love of a man, and he's holding on to a rope. And he's holding on to the rope with both of his hands. And he hears an angel come, and the angel says to him, "Let go of the rope." And he says, "I can't let go of the rope. If I let go, I will fall. I'll plummet to my death." So the angel says, "Okay, just let go with your pinky." So the man says, "Okay, I can let go just with my pinky." So he lets go just with his pinky. Little while later, the angel gets him to let go with his ring finger. One by one, in her soothing, serene voice, she gets him to let go, finger by finger, of this rope he's holding on to. Finally, he's holding on to the rope with only one finger left. And the angel says, "Let go." "Let go," he says, "I can't let go now. This is my last finger. If I let go now, I'll really plummet and fall. By some grace of yours, this one finger has enough strength that it has held me up as I've let go with the other nine. But if I let go with this one, then for sure, of course, there will be nothing to hold me up." The angel says, "Let go." And somehow, through her soothing voice, somehow through her presence, the man lets go. And he doesn't fall. So he's very surprised, and he looks down as he expects to see himself plummeting to the earth. And when he looks down, he realizes he's been standing on solid ground the entire time. And I love the parable, because this is what happens in so many of our lives. We hold on literally with this death grip to what we think is keeping us afloat. Whether it's a career, a title, whether it's just my own sense of myself, who I am, what I like, what I don't like, what my personality is, what I do, what I don't do. Whether it's holding on to how the people around us are, how our families act, how the rest of the world acts. We hold on with this death grip. And for so many of us, we never realize that actually we were on solid ground the whole time. We've been held, supported, nourished, nurtured, carried. Not by a solid cement or asphalt ground, but by literally the nourishing, nurturing arms of the divine. If a tree refuses to have its roots in the ground, no matter how tall it is, it will collapse. Because it is the roots that nourish and nurture it. It is what the roots get from the ground that keep that tree alive. And for us, it is that connection. Again, however we call it, whatever name, it doesn't matter. But that rooted connection to the divine, to the universe, to spirit, to that which flows through all of us, that which connects us to love. Love is the energy. It is the spirit. It is the flow. But we have to surrender to it. There's a beautiful poem that says something like, as children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, so I brought my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But then, instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last, I snatched them back and I cried, how could you be so slow? My child, he said, what could I do? You never did let go. In order for the divine, for grace, for the universe to flow through us, for us, we have to let go into that flow. Letting go doesn't mean I sit on a couch and eat potato chips and watch soap operas and just expect that grace is somehow going to build my home and feed my children, take care of my medical expenses, fill my car with gas. That's not what letting go means. What letting go simply means is, I recognize that I'm on solid ground, that I don't need to hold on with this death grip to the rope that I think is keeping me up, but actually has just paralyzed me. Because if both my hands are on a rope, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can accomplish. There's no one's hand I can hold. So letting go means I take my hands off the rope. I recognize I'm on the solid ground. being carried, being nourished, being nurtured by you, by a power that cares for everything on this earth, a power that creates homes and food and ways of living for every species on earth, a power that tells a caterpillar when the right time is to climb a tree and weave a cocoon, the power that transforms it into a butterfly and then says, break free, cocoon, you can fly. It means letting go, surrendering to the power through which our rivers flow, the power through which the sun rises, the power through which the rain falls. The power through which my own food is digested. My own breath, even when I don't remember to be aware of it. Even when I'm not mindful. I surrender to that which breathes my breath. I surrender to that which makes my blood flow like the water flows in the river. And I know that like everything else in creation, I too am being cared for. The only thing that is needed is for me to let go of that rope, let go of that death grip, let go of the stones in my hands that are preventing me from opening my hands to receive the diamonds. Letting go of who I think I am, the smallness that I think I am, to make room for the awareness of the truth of who I am. That me already exists. It's not about self-development or becoming great. It's about making room for the awareness of who I am. Making room for the awareness that I'm not this body. That I'm the soul, the consciousness, the spirit, the fullness, the entirety. And as I make room for that, as I surrender and I bow out of the way into that space, flows grace. Into that space flows the truth, which fills me way more than what I thought I was holding on to, fills me way more than all of the food I could stuff in my stomach to feel satisfied, way more than all of the things I could buy to feel satisfied. Way more than all of the things I can do, download, order, in order to feel whole. More than all the things I could become in order to feel worthy. Because that's what we keep doing it for. We're eating, we're buying, we're accumulating. In order to feel full and satisfied and whole, we're doing and achieving to feel worthy of occupying our space on earth. But who I am already, not due to some greatness of the small self, not due to the body where it's been. It's 45 years on earth. Not that. but who I am as an embodiment of, a manifestation of the divine is so full and so complete and so whole that suddenly I'm able to let go of my attachment to the rest. And again, it doesn't mean I stop doing. Rather, I do even more. I give even more. It's like that beautiful poem from Khalil Gibran about giving. And he speaks in the poem, I'll paraphrase it, but he speaks in the poem so beautifully about giving. Giving in the way the flower gives the fragrance. Giving in the way the trees give the fruit. That is the way we give. So actually our doing, our serving, our giving becomes even more. I don't let go of what I do. I just let go of that death grip of who I think it is that's doing it, what I think I'm going to gain from doing it, how I think the rest of the world should respond to me doing it. If I can let go of those, the universe flows through me. The universe that makes the flowers open and give fragrance. The universe that turns caterpillars to butterflies. That makes apples hang on apple trees. Everything in nature gives and serves. And that is our nature as well. To become the greatest tool, the greatest vehicle of that flowering, of that fruiting, of that blossoming that each of us can be. But we can only be that when we allow the grace to flow through us, when we allow space for that flow of the grace. When through our devotion, we're able to just surrender. I'll take a few minutes. Close your eyes. Wherever you are, if it is safe to do so, close your eyes. If it's not safe to do so, if you're driving or walking, don't worry. Just bring the awareness, the consciousness to the breath. Notice the way the breath breathes itself as it flows in and flows out. Bring the awareness to the experience of the breath low in the abdomen. Notice the way the abdomen expands on the inhalation and releases on the exhalation. As the breath flows in and out. allow the awareness to just merge with the breath as, like a wave, it comes in and it goes out. As you exhale, on each exhalation, allow yourself to just let go. More and more.
This is OTR-FM, part of the
letting go on each exhalation. Becoming freer and freer. As we flow with the breath of the universe. Letting go. Letting go on each exhalation.